Just a real quick informal survey. How many of you were taught growing up not to talk with your mouth full? Okay. Have you ever figured out why that's polite? Well, I came up with three reasons. One, it's messy. Okay? It was Thanksgiving. We were living in Japan. My family got together with another family, and they had a teenager named Jeff. And Jeff had gotten braces recently. And here the us teens, my older brother and my younger brother and his, Jeff and his brother, we were all around just the teenage table. And my older brother John goes, "Pass the potatoes in the gravy." And just then, Jeff started talking and there came potatoes and gravy right on John's plate. Talking with your mouth full can be messy. Secondly, it can be ugly. Seeing mashed food is not always pleasant. You know, having been on a board of directors for a nursing home, you know, where they parade the food and all, and it was our job as the board to test, sample all of that. Looking at it and being told what it was supposed to be? Mm-mm. And thirdly, it's confusing. You ever had anybody talk and you couldn't understand a word they said because their mouth was full? Now, I have sometimes trouble getting the right word out with nothing in my mouth, you know. Don't ask me to say certain words like, you know, that stuff that's tinfoil, you know, called I ain't even doing it. You know, there are times that, you know, one will always mispronounce a word. We just have something about difficulty formulating the right shape and vowels and consonant sounds and things like that. So we are taught, and I was raised, and apparently most of you, about do not talk with your mouth full. Well, it's Thanksgiving. And somehow we have gotten it into our mind that it's okay not to give thanks when our heart is empty. At least that's our perception. You know, we have the adage, it's better to say nothing than something mean. You know, we have the idea, if you can't say anything good, don't say anything at all. You know, and I think we have applied that to God in such a way that if I don't feel anything in my heart, if I don't sense any rejoicing bubbling over and gushing with all passion and emotion and, you know, cheers, then it's best I just be silent. Because the thought of saying something grumpy, now that's rude. And so in the Christian church, amazing, even in the Lutheran Christian church, you seem to have full permission to come here grumpy, to not sing, to not participate in the liturgy. I sit up here. I try not to stare at certain individuals, you know, okay? Pastor Al might be in the queue about, you know, what you all do out there while we're up front. But we have this idea that's okay. It's like being rude if I say something when I'm really not into it. It's like I'm being fake or phony, shallow or hypocrite. It's as bad as talking with my mouth full. So having an empty heart in silence, that's fine. But then we come to a psalm. It's the psalm you read responsively, Psalm 67. You don't have all of the psalm for our text tonight, so I won't keep you quite that long. But just the first part, it says, "May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, that God's way, may be known on earth, your saving power among the nations." And kind of to dissect that, what's that have to do with Thanksgiving? Just start asking a few questions like this. How would I know if and when God is gracious? How would you define gracious? How would I know if and when God is blessing me? How would I know if and when God's face is shining upon me? And how would I know, and how could I tell, if God's way is being made known on the earth? And how and when and if could I know your saving power is real and present and working? How would I know those things? Because the answer to those questions is part of the key of why we are so thankful to God. But in our world, we have redefined what is gracious, what is a blessing, what is power, you know, and the like. We have changed according to our culture. And it seems like instead of the church taking the lead, that is Christians taking the lead, it's like the world's leading us. You go to a clothing store, any clothing store, and I watch people, and Gwen and I are sensitive to this because we had jobs in a big department store, and you watch people knock stuff down all the time. And they say the reason they don't do that is because, well, they put those racks too tight together. Nobody can get through here. And they all have excuses as to why they don't pick up what they knocked off. Well, that's their job. It's not mine. And so the word gracious has changed in our society. How to be polite, how to be loving, how to be genuine, how to be generous has changed. If you need a buck, you know, or $2 or something to get a soda pop or the like, that's no big deal. You know, I remember as a kid being excited if you found a penny in the parking lot. So a psych class that I had went out and put a penny right in the parking lot on a yellow line. So it stood out instead of blending in the darkness of the blacktop. And we counted how many people actually saw the penny and how many people walked by, saw it, but didn't pick it up. And it was amazing. Because I remember as a kid, you saw a penny, it didn't stay there. You know. In fact, you usually looked around to see if nobody saw, so you didn't get caught. At least that was my way. We have forgotten what it is to have grace. We have forgotten what it is to have a gift. We have started to measure gifts by our own criteria, by our own wants, by our own passions. My older sister gave me a Christmas tie. You know, the notorious Christmas tie. It was the ugliest tie, you know. And I was supposed to be nice and say, thank you, sis, you know. But to the person who didn't have a tie, that wouldn't have been too bad. We have forgotten to know what a blessing is because we've sort of kind of made the standard high. What'd you get for Christmas? Well, I got shoestrings. Yeah, shoestrings? Yeah. Why? What'd you get? Well, I got a brand new phone, you know, and a new iPad. And, you know, and they start talking about, I got a new TV for my room. And I got a new, you know, Bose speaker. And I got, you know, and so we're excited if the dollar amount seems to merit it. But to be excited over shoestrings when that's exactly what you needed because your shoestrings had broke the other night, you know, and you'd been wearing shoes without shoestrings. You ever tried that? So one time I was happy I got shoestrings. I thought it was pretty cool, but everybody else thought I was an idiot. We have redefined what it means to be gracious. So when the Bible says, may God be gracious to us, sometimes we think our heart is empty because God has not been so gracious to us. We haven't gotten what we think we need. We haven't gotten to satisfy the passions of our heart. And sometimes we haven't gotten what we really needed, you know, even if it was a meal on the table to eat once a day, like they do in Haiti, where we feed the children one meal a day, and that's the only meal they get. Sometimes we don't even have that. And when we start keeping score on God, we say, no, 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 you know. And when we did eat, it was the same thing we had last week, chicken. You know, you ever had the same meal for 7 days in a row? You know, beans and weenies was mine. But it beat going hungry. But was I thankful? I lived in Germany at the time. I was 5. I was not thankful. That's when we stop giving thanks to God. When we think having nothing, according to our heart, it's okay to be quiet. And if God kind of spoke from the heavens to us quietly and personally, going, hey, psst, psst, you know, what? He says, say thank you. For what? That's our response, isn't it? Because if God actually did something, it was something he was supposed to do in the first place. Why am I supposed to be thankful for that? And so we're confused about what it means for God to be gracious. And then when you go through that psalm, how about the blessing? Have you felt miraculously blessed lately? Or have you felt God's face shine upon you? Or have you realized how God has made his way known and what a joy that is? And the more we say no, no, mm-mm, our thanks decreases. Are you following me? When our heart, by our own perception, is empty, then there are no words to say thank you, God. So what does it mean for God to be gracious? Well, the first thing is I want to point out is you have not received everlasting condemnation. See, we're always thinking about, God, I deserve this. But really, according to the law, you know what you deserve? You know, I know what I deserve. You know, I'm probably worse than you. You know, so I really know what I deserve, right? I don't deserve eternal life. I don't deserve heaven. I don't deserve God healing my daughter, Megan. I don't deserve a breathing-free, asthma-free, allergy-free day. According to my sinful nature, God should squash me like a bug. Are you in that group? Yeah. So the fact that we're living, breathing, and believing, God has been gracious to us. And that's where we begin. And the fact that he blesses us with his son, we're going to be celebrating Christmas, and it'll be here faster than I know it, you know. The those will be gone and back in a matter of weeks, you know, and it'll be awesome to see him again. To recognize that God blesses us with his son, a savior to save us from ourselves because we can't save ourselves. That's awesome. And then for even God to consider us, to even to be watchful over us, you know, to accompany us, to lead us like the children of Israel. You know, you got that pillar of fire and the cloud of smoke. And, you know, the people of Israel knew God had their front and God had their backside. And God was with them. Yeah, they grumbled, manna again. You know, and when are we going to have something besides water? You know, and when are we going to have something besides the quail? And when are we going to get out of this wilderness? And God kept leading them. Those ungrateful Israelites. We're just like them, aren't we? You know? We'll go home tonight. If you don't have stainless steel appliances, you'll probably sulk. You know, if you don't have granite countertops, you'll probably pout. If you don't have the newest iPad, you'll probably sag. If you don't have the greatest i7, Windows 10, you know, 64 gigs of RAM, you know, and on and on. If you don't have the biggest Boss Hog computer, you'll moan. And if your engine in your car isn't a Hemi, you'll weep. Do you understand? But give it 10 years. And what will all the stuff we brag about today count as? Think about 10-year-old technology. How many of you just can't wait to go out and buy it today? You see, that's the problem with being grateful solely for the earthly stuff. It's the greatest and best. Because soon enough, it's not. And what happens to your joy and what happens to your peace and what happens to your boasting in the Lord is it becomes mute. And so the psalmist reminds us. This is a psalm I think was used in worship. It also has that tone about harvest time. It's a psalm that reminds us why and how we give thanks to the Lord. It's because if we really think about it, our heart is never empty. Did not the Holy Spirit dwell in you? Weren't you given that at your baptism? You know, Pastor Al and I can go look inside our robes. We got Spirit! Do you understand? We have something that an unbeliever doesn't. Did not Christ die for you, rise for you, prepared a place for you? Is that going to fade? No matter what the election results are, no matter what the interest rate on your IRA is, no matter what, you know, on and on we can list all this tough stuff here. God has taken care of that. God has provided us eternally. And by his grace and by his power and by his presence and by his word of encouragement and by his word of strengthening, we endure. And that's why it says in the psalm that God's way may be known on earth and that that is God's saving power among the nations. You see, our thankfulness just isn't about you're going to have turkey and you just love turkey. Cindy and I were talking a few minutes ago, and she asked if we were going to have turkey, and then she remembered. Gwen and I, Christmas Day too sometimes, but Thanksgiving dinner is Alaskan King crab legs. Okay? And, I'm going to have crab legs tomorrow, and I'm not telling you what time. And, I'm not excited just because I'm having crab legs. Because there's more in life than the steak and the lobster and the crab legs and the turkey and the drumstick and the gravy and the homemade rolls and the pecan pie and the, you know, all of it. There's more about our life that doesn't fade away than the food that is gone and stuffed and here and past tomorrow. Do you understand? You know how we get through the day? It's by the power of God. And that is something to be thankful for. You know how we get through crises and ups and downs? It's by the word of God. That is something to rejoice over. And I can tell you, and you already know, do I have great days every day? No. Do I have ups and downs right now? Yes. But I still give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Why? Because his mercy is forever. Amen.